standing in a better place. We have a beautiful view here in St. Peter's College, as it happens this morning. Your old alma mater.
No, I was
Wexford. Oh, no, you were CBS. You were CBS. Yeah, nothing wrong with Wexford CBS.
No.
A lot of good talent came out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And out of here, of course.
Yeah, out of both. And both are doing great work at the moment. Donald Howland down in Wexford CBS and along. There's a good team of teachers down there under John Hegarty doing a lot of great work. And obviously here under John Banville, teachers doing hurling and football, doing a lot of great work. Like, we're actually blessed to have the teachers we do across the county. We take people sometimes talk about the schools in the county and, you know, that we're not winning Leinster College or whatever else, but our talent is spread across a number of schools. You know, Enniscorthy CBS doing great work, Kevin Foley's up there, Brendan Cahoe, Gorey Community School, Crea College, you know, all the schools, Bridgetown, Dee's down in Bridgetown, good council obviously. Beautiful to be here this morning and thankful to the schools as well to be letting us use their facilities this time of the year.
You have the chair, you're vice chairman for twice, I think I'm right in saying. Will it be just steady as she goes?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I've been vice chair with Derek for the last 4 years. Very enjoyable. I think we have made good progress. Steady as she goes to an extent, but I think we would all recognise that there's still progress over the last 4 years, which brings you up to level and certainly brings us on a par maybe with a lot of the other top counties. You don't stand still, you have to keep progressing. As I said the other night, we're launching a 5-year plan now in January. In the latter stages of being finalised at the moment, just kind of finishing our consultation process, and I think it will be the most ambitious plan we've ever launched. The only reason we're able to do that is because of the progress we've made and because of the groundwork that has been laid over the last 4 years. There's been a huge amount of work done across every area. Coaching, we've gone from 4 to 14. We've GPOs now in 25 clubs. Half of our clubs have a GPO. I've already mentioned the schools and the teachers and Hurling 365, Pell for All. There is a body of work being done. You see here, we're here with the 20s this morning. James and David, you know, we're producing good coaches and better coaches. So the issue goes to an extent in that there's not a huge amount wrong with what we're doing. You always have to look and you have to improve.
Part of that 5-year plan, I'm sure, is the resurfacing of Chadwick's Wexford Park and floodlights.
We need about 4.5 million to do the projects we're going to do, Liam. That is the reality. And
current climate.
In the current climate, and I suppose we'll discuss that in a second. I was on a chairman's meeting yesterday evening with all the other county chairpersons. We have Chadwick's Wexford Park to upgrade. As you said, it's plain surface, planning in for floodlights. The second phase of Ferns has to be done. It's a real priority for us. Something that we don't have. We don't have a third level institute in Wexford, or not yet at least. You go to Waterford, you go to Carlow, Kilkenny are developing one, or Dublin. All the main counties have a full-size Astro floodlit pitch. Very much definitely a plan in the next 3 to 5 years. I think we can deliver it. I've been talking to a number of the educational establishments and partners. Between all those projects, that's 4.5 million in the current climate. We are on a sound financial footing at the moment, but we probably have a little over a tenth of what we need to develop that. Now, obviously, hopefully sports capital will come back. Hopefully crowds will come back to matches so that the GAA central funding will increase. If things had been tipping away the way they were, you maybe would have been looking at developing those projects in the next year to 2 years. That's why a 5-year plan. I'm hopeful and reasonably confident that we can deliver the majority of those projects over the next 5 years.
Because to be fair, the clubs in Wexford have fantastic facilities. Credit to them over the years. We've probably as good a facilities as any county in Ireland.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm principal in Kilmore. Every day.
The indoor arena there must be handy.
Right beside the school. Every day. You know, Hurling 365 or football, break time. There's examples of that all over the county. Between indoor arenas, floodlit pitches, you know, out in Barrentown, the Martins in the district here. There was a time when there was no lights in the Wexford district. Now we have fantastic facilities in the Shells, the Martins, in Barrentown with lights, Timon out the road. We have good facilities. And as a county then, we have decent facilities, I would say. But not what you would call, say, top-class facilities. Like Ferns, it's a great facility. You know, anyone that drove up there for blitzes or whatever else, you're driving up the lane. We need an entrance off the N11. We need an addition.
That's going to happen, though, isn't it?
We're planning in. So subject to planning, yeah, absolutely. That's a priority. Need another pitch. Probably need to extend the premises as well. So, you know, all these projects need to be done to bring you to the next level. The sound financial footing we're on certainly helps, you know.
COVID-19 has presented problems for everybody, I suppose. Learn to live with it to a certain degree, you know, but the positive, I suppose, games are played. Has changed the mindset. As you said, you were at the chairman's Zoom meeting yesterday, and definitely fixtures are going to change nationally as well as locally next year, do you feel?
It was more or less agreed. It has to go to the Central Council next week, but it was certainly the intention now, I think, is to run the county programme first. If we can, Tom Ryan, Doris Johor, set out the financial challenge that's going to be presented by that, and there's not going to be a huge amount of central funding to counties, so we're going to have to fund it ourselves. So it will mean cost cuts across every county, and we were warned of that yesterday. And Derek's stewardship over the last couple of years, I think we've been very good in terms of our financial prudent and our spending, increased income as well. going to have to double down on that now and relook at it and see, you know, where can we cut further costs. The county teams are, you know, are an expense. We'll have to look at that. I think in Wexford, again, we would be probably in the bottom half of counties in terms of expenditure because we're very prudent. At the same time, you want your county teams to succeed. So there's a big balance there.
Catch-22.
Yeah, it is.
Money doesn't buy you success either, of course.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And in fairness to our senior teams, they're aware of the fact that money doesn't buy you success and also that we have a limited enough budget when it comes to it, and the budget has to spread across every aspect if you want to get things done. County games will go first. We're looking probably from the end of February to All Ireland sometime in early July next year.
But that would cut down on expenses, wouldn't it?
It would.
That means county
season.
Teams wouldn't be shortened season.
Yeah. Shortened season, and you know the April window's gone. And I think the April window, I was part of the fixture task force, which was looking at split season. I think April window is gone for good. We're looking at county first, then club. So next year, I suppose, if a management meeting on Tuesday night, we will be looking at probably a club season, if we're allowed. Obviously, as you say, COVID, and we're talking with a cloud of COVID hanging over us to an extent. So we're probably talking about league starting next April, championship then getting kicking in next July. And clubs can cut costs too as well, because, you know, we used to start our leagues the 1st of March. Clubs will be back in January, and, you know, clubs have to look at costs. And there has been a bit of a merry-go-round in terms of managerial and managerial expenses. We have to look at that now. People have to be realistic that we're in a different climate. In 2020, to an extent, we've been buffered by GAA, for example. There has been government support that won't be there next year. 2021 will be a far greater financial challenge, I think, for the GAA. Again, I'm conscious, I'm only speaking from the GAA. There are people who've lost jobs. There's people whose businesses have had to shut down. Far more serious for them. This is a hobby. Yes, we run it like a business, but it's a hobby and it's a passion and it's something that keeps us all entertained, but it's not the livelihood of the players or anything else. You know?
You were a school principal, as you said, in Kilmore, which is a pretty hefty role in itself. So you're not going to have much time on your hands. This is near 24/7.
And obviously, I have a young family at home and thankful to have an understanding wife as well, but sometimes we overstate. First of all, overstate maybe the role of a chairman. There's going to be a team of people who are going to be working between the management committee, the subcommittees, between your team managers. There's volunteers all over county that are putting in huge hours, whether they're county chair or club chair. One thing I'd be hoping, there'll be some people who'll be listening who I'll be calling or will be calling me. The great thing that's happened this week, actually, I've had hundreds of phone calls, well-wishers and whatever else, but there's four or five people who actually rang and said, listen, there's anything I could do or I'd like to do this, and we need that. Like, you know, people say, how are you?
New blood.
Yeah, new blood. You always need new blood and new ideas. Like Tom Cousins is coming in, he's chairman of, or he's principal in Our Lady's Island. I approached him and asked him, young man who's got fresh ideas. Now, I've been involved in the coaching side of it for the last couple of years, and I said that to Tom, have a look at it. And if there's, you know, if we got two new things or three new things this year, we're going to have a look at our underage fixtures and have a review, and we're going to consult with people to see, can we do things better? If you can improve things, you know.
Young fellas will be hurling in the summer when they should be hurling and not in the winter.
Yeah.
For example, which is always a bugbear of mine.
Yeah, and I think we can improve things, certainly. Like you said at the start, steady as she goes, we're doing a lot of things well, but you always have to look, can we do things better? If you're not looking like that, well, then you're
sitting your arse. You'll go stale, won't you?
You will, and I'd say I'll be ringing up people and asking them to help, and you know, sometimes people say, well, I don't have the time. I say, well, listen, you know, we can all find an hour a week or 2 hours a week. You know, we're all busy. So in one way, the fact is, you know, say, you know, you've got a busy job and you've a busy home life and it's a busy role, it makes it easier to ask people to do something and put a little bit of pressure on them to do it.
The saying is, if you want something, don't ask a busy person. But you talked about a 5-year plan, which makes it, I suppose, relatively easy. It's a good direction to go in because it doesn't mean that anyone can divert the ship, so to speak. But obviously there's something, there's priorities yourself that you would like to get done.
I put coaching number one. We have made a huge amount of progress on coaching in the last 3-4 years. As I say, we've increased our GPO model. Player development has to come as number one. And you know, we have infrastructure plans. We've all seen clubs who've had infrastructure plans and building projects and then took their eye off the ball, maybe at the underage. We can't afford to do that. We're, I think, in a good place. We've improved things, but we have to get to the next level. So player development, reviewing, as you said, our underage games program, providing.
What about coaching coaches? Everybody talks about coaching, but
that's part of
you
it.
Can coaching only works if the coaches are good enough.
That's part of it, and we are lucky. And I think Leinster would say that our GPOs and our coaching staff, we have some absolutely fantastic coaches, led by Ray Harris, our games manager. Name them all.
Forget somebody.
They are of the highest caliber. And effectively, that is their role. Their role is not to go and coach teams. Their role is to go into the schools, recruit kids, you know, give the enjoyment, and then teach coaches in the club best practice, the finer art of hurling and football, but basically best practice and getting everyone involved. And I think we're on the right path there. You have to improve it. We have to extend that scheme. So priority number one for me is coaching, is player development. I said the other night, I've set up a committee and it's going to be meet virtually. It has to meet virtually because it has people. Billy Walsh is on it, who's over in the US, who everyone will know. Kieran Dealy in London. Sean McPartlin, a guy from Ferns, who is part of Team GB, is going to be on it. I have Declan Brown from IT Carlo. We're trying to strengthen our relationship there. Damien Quigley, who's very, very highly respected in terms of the Ratnior man, who we're very highly respected. And other people like that. I like to say Barry Cleary, who does performance analysis. We've got those together and we will be asking them. So as I said to them, I'm going to put 10 slides together in terms of what we're doing now. Like, they are some of the most elite sports people. Some of them are GAA, but most of them are gone to other sports. But their heart, Billy Walsh's heart, is still works for GAA. Kieran Dealy the same. The question we're going to ask each one of them is, you know, what can we do better? What can we do better to develop better players? And Billy Walsh, I know the first thing he'll say to me is develop better people. We have our under 20s here. Obviously, the lads are working on improving them as hurlers. We also want them to be good representatives of the county and hopefully go on and play senior hurling or go back to their clubs and be good role models. So Billy Walsh will be very big on that. There's lots of things we can do, but player development, coaching is number one. And then obviously we have to improve the facilities around that for both club and county.
The one, I suppose, positive that came out of COVID was the playing the football all in a go and then playing the hurling all in one swoop. Do you think that's something that will happen going forward, I think? Players certainly liked it.
Yeah, players liked it.
Wexford is a unique county in terms that we've so many dual clubs and both senior hurling and senior football.
Yeah, absolutely. Players liked it. It worked. Myself and Derek sat down and looked at that, and it was straight away when we saw the way the season was going to map out, we thought it needs to be a block of one and a block of then a block of the other. Part of that also was with COVID, we felt you start one and you get it finished, the worst thing, and some counties are left with where they didn't finish either. Would have taken advice from, say, some government officials on that at the time as well, and local politicians who said, listen, absolutely, finish it and get it played. It worked, and we'll get good feedback. So now, at least, when we go and we ask the clubs in January, we'll consult with the clubs, first of all, and the club managers and players. When we ask them, they know what each model is. There's a big advantage for it in that you see the quality. Quality of the hurling was excellent, and the quality of the football started probably slow, but by the time we got to the quarterfinals, the quality really improved. I think it's definitely something to look at, albeit we have to be conscious of the fact if you play them like that, whichever one you play first, the winners will be waiting a long way. They'll have a long lead into a provincial championship. You could be waiting 6, 7, 8 weeks to play the first round of Leinster. So that'll be something for clubs to consider.
In fairness, if you did well in the club finals, you have a break over. If you get to an All-Ireland final, you have a break from January to March. So
absolutely. You went that far.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure clubs won't mind that.
No, and these are things we'll throw into the mix. So, and again, 2021 is going to be a different year. Like, you know, as I say...
None of us know yet, really, do they?
You know, we're talking about all these plans, and they are ambitious plans, and they will be ambitious plans. But I'm very cognizant of the fact that there's people struggling. Like, there's people struggling at the moment who we've just come out of a level 5 lockdown. So different for the likes of myself who's been in school and teachers who've been in school, and obviously we have, you know, there's great respect for the teachers and the fact that there's probably a newfound appreciation for education. But when you've been busy and you've been working, but people who have been in the hotel industry or the pub industry have been off work, and you know, I'm very conscious of that.
And likely to go back, some of them.
So there's a huge challenge ahead in 2021 for businesses, for people personally, their own well-being. But we also recognise that games actually, we saw that during the summer. First of all, they're great for the players, but the second thing was, like, we had people, say, watching the stream and listening to yourself, Liam, and it gave them something to talk about all week. Like, I'm sure the people of Waterford and Limerick this week, you know, their week was that bit shorter because they were looking forward to the weekend, and next week will be a bit shorter, whether you win or lose, maybe, because you'll be debating, you know what went wrong and what went right. So matches are an outlet for people's well-being. 2021 will be different. We tried things in 2020. We'll probably try things again in 2021, I think, fixture-wise, and then settle on, hopefully, let's hope COVID will be gone away by the end of 2021, settle on a really good template that suits Wexford, because we are different. And, you know, you and I understand it, but you saw some of the reaction outside the county this year to our fixtures, you know, and all the rubbish really that was written, that we were getting our hurling played to suit our hurlers, which was all just, you know, absolute, it was absolutely unfounded, really. Like,
they didn't understand.
They don't understand that, for example, on the 4th of October, how many do we have of our starting hurlers? You know, the Anns were playing Ferns in an intermediate final, and how many of those would be involved on a senior hurling panel? We're unique. So what we land on for 2022 will probably be unlike other counties as well. We can't look at other counties and see what they're doing fixture wise. We have to suit ourselves and the pure dual element that we have. And, you know, go back to where we started in terms of Peter's College. I know Peter's put in a proposal to the schools last year, I think, that maybe the hurling and the football school seasons should be split, so that they could prepare. Very difficult when you're preparing teams here. They go out and play football one week, maybe against...
Well, player welfare.
Yeah,
issue, isn't it?
You're going, you're playing some of the really strong Kildare schools at the moment that are starting to win these championships. And then the following week, you're going playing Kieran's College in a hurling semi-final. That's extremely challenging. So, and again, when they raised that debate, they got very little support from outside the county, because they just didn't understand it. People didn't understand it. So we are different. But by 2022, I'd be fairly confident that we'll have settled on a template for our fixtures. That, and I think people will be a lot happier with our fixtures going forward. The split season will suit Wexford. Like April, whatever way you look at it, April didn't suit us, that you had to play two rounds of football, two rounds of hurling, and then we would have had leagues during May and June. But effectively, you were probably taking a 10-week gap between championship. And I think that had worn thin on people.
Well, we've already... spoken about it. I've always believed you can't play football one week, drop the footballs and play hurling the next week. It doesn't do anything for the standard, and we saw the improvement in standard by the fact that they could concentrate in one game for a specific period of time. I think that has to be paramount.
Yeah, and I think it will be. I think we will go back to the clubs, and I would expect that the preference at the end of the season last year, you'd heard like Simon Donoghue, and you heard the players that were involved. I think the player preference was to get a block of both. So we'll put everything out to them. And that one thing that we just have to flag for people is obviously that the lead in for, say, if you play hurling first, that you might be waiting 6 weeks to play your first round of Leinster. But if everyone's happy with that, that's really the only obstacle to it, being honest. And we have a lot to squeeze in. Like, again, you know, we'll have probably 12 to 14 weeks to play our championships. That'll be the window that we'll be given before your provincial window. While a single code county, you know, some of our neighbours who will be, you know, predominantly single code, have 12 weeks to play one code, you know, we have to fit both codes into that and give both due respect, which we do.
It's great, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And that's, listen, as I say, we're a county, and I think being idealistic about it, when you think of, you know, the culture of our games, it's to promote both sports. You know, you go back to your primary school, what do we do?
Historically, we're if you look at our history, Wexford GAA were strong in football, as we have been hurling over the years. So
yeah,
both deserve equal chance.
Yeah, particularly at club level. Now, I would say the last couple of years, I would say, say as vice chair, I've sat on the football advisory and the hurling advisory committee. And you know this, Liam, as well. It is an awful lot easier to get people to do things for hurling than it is for football. And there's a little bit of uncomfortable with the culture which seeped into football as well. As you know, you go ask someone, and it's almost what's in it for me. You know, if we're to resurrect football, and I saw some questions: what are county board doing for football? People have to do things for football. It's been done in the clubs to an extent, I think. But certainly, and Anthony Masson's doing a great job, and Anthony probably would speak more passionately than I would on this, in terms of people have to get off their behind and actually do things. And I'd say Anthony probably has a long list of names that he's asked to do stuff that he's got a negative response from. And that hasn't happened in hurling. So, you know, I won't resurrect football as a county chairman on my own, but I will ask people to help us do it. And if they help us doing it, we'll give it one hell of a shot.
Yeah, well, that's a positive. Joey Wadding and David Murphy and Shane Roach now, and Philip Wallace. So there are fellows, Anthony, getting involved. So
Yeah, and I'd mention this,
talking to those lads in particular. I spoke to Phil, who's in, vice principal in Turner College. You know, really passionate about helping Wexford football. You know, the first thing he said to me is, I love Wexford football. You know, I remember Phil playing, and like, what a great player he was, what a great role model. I heard him speak to the lads when he got involved there at the end of last year. Has a passion for it, Shane has a passion for it. David obviously has a passion for it. Joey is involved now, but we need multiples of that. You know, four or five, and there are more now. In fairness to Anthony and Noel Houlihan, as chairman of the football advisory, have got people involved. But it takes a lot of work to get people involved, and you need more. You need people, as I say, some of the people I've seen asking, what are you doing for football? I'll be asking that question back to them, what are you going to help us do for football?
Absolutely. Well, listen, the best of luck. It's a tough job, because time-wise it's a tough job. As you say, you get more new blood on board is always good, especially young people. I personally like to see more young people get involved in administration and that area, but it's going to be a tough time for you, and enjoy your Christmas break, you deserve it, and the best of luck.
Thanks, Liam. Yeah, and listen, happy Christmas to you, and thank you for all the work you do, and to your listeners, and we look forward to 2021. Hopefully, I'd be confident that we're in a good place. I'm confident, notwithstanding the next 6 months are going to be challenging for everyone. It's going to be, life and society it's going to be difficult, I think, but there is hope out there now, I think, and people sense that hope, that by the time we reach, hopefully, May, June, we'll have our games back. Hopefully, it'll be people back in club grounds and in county grounds, in whatever numbers. Then we look forward to kind of a really positive back end of the year. And I'd say we'll appreciate more what we had, like what we're missing at the moment. We won't have dinner dances next January celebrating victories and so on. But when we do get back there, we'll sure as hell appreciate it.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Liam. Dear Margaret.